Thursday, the 10th of September. The light has that thin, late summer quality this morning where you can tell the season is getting ready to turn, and I have been up a while with this one, because the lead story is the kind of thing I expected to be arguing about for another decade. Grab your coffee and settle in. There are four things I want to walk you through. First up, and there is no gentle way into this, a group of agents at OpenAI appears to have resolved one of the Millennium Prize problems. The claim is a finite time singularity in the three-dimensional Navier-Stokes equations. Let me lay out what that means, because the precision matters here. The Navier-Stokes equations describe how fluids move, and the Clay Mathematics Institute problem asks whether smooth starting conditions always produce smooth solutions forever, or whether the equations can break down. What the agents produced is a proof that they can break down. There exists a solution in which some infinitesimally small parcel of fluid reaches unbounded velocity in finite time. The answer to the millennium question is no, and for 26 years, nobody had been able to settle it in either direction. The operational numbers are extraordinary. Roughly 10,000 agents ran together for about 88 hours, from the 1st to the 5th of September, exchanging close to 5 million messages and consuming something on the order of 130 billion output tokens. The estimated compute cost is north of $40 million. The model was not GPT-6 Astra, but an unreleased successor that OpenAI describes only as significantly more capable. And then a separate 17-hour pass formalized the argument in Lean, which is a proof assistant, a programming language built so that mathematical arguments can be checked mechanically rather than by a tired referee. That formalization is the single most important detail in the entire announcement, because it means the logical skeleton has been machine verified. Claimed resolutions of famous problems arrive fairly regularly, and almost all of them die in peer review over a gap the author could not see. A lean checked proof does not die that way, but the credit picture is genuinely contested, and I want to be careful in how I describe it. Charles Pfefferman at Princeton, who wrote the official problem statement for the Clay Institute, said he was thrilled the problem was solved, and then he immediately pointed away from the machines. He named two mathematicians, Diego Cordoba in Madrid and Luis Martinez Soroa at CUNEF University, as the authors of the underlying strategy, an infinite cascade construction that builds a blow-up out of combined, non-singular solutions. On that reading, the agents supplied enormous execution against an attack that humans designed. Separately, Tristan Buckmaster at New York University and Levent Alpoge at Anthropic announced results about 12 hours before OpenAI did, and Buckmaster has alleged that OpenAI gained access to their unpublished work after news of it leaked. OpenAI claims priority on Navier-Stokes while conceding the Euler equations result to them. Quanta, reporting this out, says plainly that different parties are telling different versions of the timeline. And here is the detail I keep returning to. OpenAI has said it will not claim the $1 million prize. That is a strange decision for a company that believed it had cleanly met the Clay criteria. Read it as the company's own estimate of the distance between what the agents did and what the prize formally requires. Independent verification by the fluid dynamics community has not happened yet. Moving on to our second story, which is about what happens when those same capabilities point the other way. Anthropic published its September Threat Intelligence Report, covering activity from December of last year through August, and it documents operations across seven categories of harm in which people tried to use Claude for malicious work. The interesting claim is not that misuse occurred, it is that the shape of the misuse changed. Several campaigns ran multi-agent frameworks that carried out reconnaissance, exploitation, and data theft with very little human supervision. Humans picked the targets and then handed execution to systems working in parallel at machine speed. The specifics are heavy. A Russian espionage cluster that Anthropic tracks as GTG-20006, associated with a group known as Midnight Blizzard, hit more than 20 government, defense, and diplomatic organizations across Ukraine and Europe. From one North African government, it took over 300,000 national identity records and 500,000 commercial registry entries. The tradecraft included device code phishing, hijacking domain name resolution at compromised hotels, and malware that modified itself autonomously when it noticed it had been detected. A Chinese exploit operation ran an autonomous vulnerability research program that produced more than a dozen candidate zero days in a single month, aimed at roughly 50 organizations across education, energy, healthcare, finance, and government. A criminal group scanned 1.8 million Android application packages looking for hard-coded secrets and pulled more than a terabyte out of a single technology provider. Some of these intrusions ran from initial access to bulk theft in a matter of hours. There is a category here that I think deserves separate attention, which is attacks on the artificial intelligence supply chain itself. One Russian financial group compromised vendor evaluation sandboxes specifically to steal production interface keys, hitting roughly 30 companies within 4 days, and explicitly went looking for pre-release model access, which it did not get. Another ran a fraudulent Claude reseller, offering discounted access while quietly proxying the traffic elsewhere and harvesting credentials. Stolen keys are useful three ways at once. They have resale value, they provide computation for the attacker's own operations, and they provide cover because the activity gets attributed to whoever legitimately owns the credential. Anthropic's framing of the overall trend is the line worth keeping, which is that sophisticated attacks no longer require sophisticated attackers. The economics shifted. When the cost per target falls, targets that were never worth attacking become worth attacking. Third up, and staying with the theme of what we can and cannot see inside these systems, Neil Nanda published an analysis in a personal capacity of how much reasoning Astra can do without writing anything down. He built what he calls a NoCoT reasoning index, stitching together 19 tasks, some synthetic, some real, lookup tables, program prediction, graph pathfinding, graduate level science questions, competition mathematics, multi-hop factual recall. Each is split into sub-evaluations of roughly equal difficulty, and fitted so that model capability can be estimated separately from task difficulty. The result is that Astra has roughly 8.6 times better odds of completing a reasoning task with no chain of thought at all compared to the next best model, Fable 5.1. On serial arithmetic, it sustains 7.2 steps inside a single forward pass against 4.1 for Gemini 3.8 Flash and for Fable. Here is why that number matters rather more than a benchmark usually does. A substantial part of the safety case for monitoring chain of thought rests on a mechanical argument, not a hopeful one. The argument is that models are forced to externalize their serial reasoning into visible tokens because a single forward pass simply cannot carry enough sequential depth to do the hard part internally. If that is true, the visible reasoning trace is load-bearing, and watching it tells you something real. A model that can do substantially more serial computation without emitting a single token weakens that argument at its foundation, because the reasoning that matters no longer has to pass through the channel we are watching. Nanda is careful about the caveats, and I will be too. He describes it as heavily model-dependent research, sensitive to researcher decisions, with serial depth measurements typically off by around 10%. And Sebastian Raschka, writing the same week, pushes back on the strongest interpretation by his argument is that loop transformers, where the same blocks are applied repeatedly with shared weights, do not inherently hide anything, that OpenAI has concealed reasoning traces since the O1 models, regardless of the architecture underneath, and that Astra's shorter traces at equal accuracy reflect a model making fewer errors rather than one deliberately hiding its work. He cites OpenAI's chief scientist saying, "The depth of the computation graph is within a factor of two of previous models." I think both readings are compatible, And that is the uncomfortable part. Capability at hidden serial reasoning can be rising even if nobody chose this architecture in order to conceal anything. And for our fourth and final story today, something with a very different character. Google DeepMind released Alpha Genome Atlas, which is a pre-computed map of the predicted molecular consequences of every possible single-letter change in the human genome, all 9 billion of them. The result is a 1 petabyte dataset, more than 30 times the size of the AlphaFold database, covering predictions across many cell types and tissues. The design decision I find most interesting is that rather than publishing a model researchers have to run themselves, DeepMind ran it exhaustively and published the output. That converts variant interpretation from an inference problem into a lookup, which changes who can use it. You no longer need the compute or the machine learning expertise. You need a browser. Each variant carries a score they call the Alpha Genome Variant Impact, combining Alpha Genome with Alpha Missense into one interpretable number, alongside attributions indicating which biological processes are predicted to be most disrupted, whether that is RNA splicing or gene expression. Crucially, coverage spans both the roughly 2% of the genome that codes for proteins and the other 98% that does not. That non-coding majority is where most trait-associated variants actually live, and it is exactly where existing interpretation methods have been weakest. The validation result that carries the most weight, to my reading, is from the UK Biobank, where the impact score surfaced 22% more non-coding genetic associations than were previously detectable. That is the regime where rare disease diagnostic pipelines usually terminate without an answer, and a 22% improvement, there is a lot of families. Access is free through a web portal and an interface for academic research, with commercial availability on Google Cloud set to be coming. So what was this morning actually about? Every one of these four is a story about verification and about how much harder it gets as the systems get faster. A proof arrives in 88 hours, and the mathematics community now has to work out how to check something no human assembled, with the authorship still in dispute. Attacks run autonomously at machine speed, and the best monitors catch maybe half. A model does more of its thinking in places we cannot read, which quietly erodes the mechanism we were relying on to read it. And then the genome work, which is the encouraging counterexample, because DeepMind spent the compute up front precisely so that 9 billion predictions could be checked against real benchmarks and real biobank data in public by anyone. Generation has become extraordinarily cheap. Verification has not, and the gap between those two is where most of this year's risk is going to live. The full digest has 44 more items behind these four if you want the rest. Until tomorrow, read the primary sources, and I will see you then.